I am Linda van Tilburg for BizNews. This week, the newly formed MK Party was involved in a court battle with the Independent Electoral Commission on former President Jacob Zuma's eligibility to be included on the list of candidates of the MK Party for the May elections. And we have Professor Theo Venter, a political analyst, to delve into this decision. Well, thanks for joining us, Theo. And can we ask you, this is not a surprise, is it?
Well, in a sense, it is a surprise because I thought with five judges sitting on the bench, the technical aspects of whether somebody is eligible to go to parliament or not would be decided on technical matters. The opposition for Zuma was arguing, I would say, extrajudicial issues in terms of the potential for violence and this and that and the other. The IEC argued strictly on the clause that determined whether you pass the different hurdles or not. And they indicated at each level where he failed. But if you take the external view like Mpofu did, and you take that approach, I think the judges were swayed. Now, we do not have a written outcome of the court case. They said it will be supplied later, but it never does. But in any case, I think personally the judges took the soft option here rather than to force the technical nature of what the Constitution says, what the Electoral Act says, and they look really at other issues. And so now we have a situation that in December, when it became known that Jacob Zuma will be the face of this party, which I was warned in September last year that an MK party has been established, and I thought nothing of it. I thought it's another weirdo organizing a small little name within the 378 parties or whatever are registered for national elections. Everything changed when Zuma announced that he will be the face of the party. And ever since then, I think the system was under pressure. Not Zuma, the system. He has this canny ability of a few other politicians, and I can only think of Donald Trump having the same, where he puts the system under stress and not the system him. And what we now have, or let me first argue, if he lost the case today, in other words, if his appeal didn't succeed, he would have, I think, milked the media with his approach that I'm the victim in this case. The system is against me. The politicians don't want me. And you can actually write a book about all the arguments about being a victim. And while I'm saying it, I wonder if he and Donald Trump kind of exchange notes or something, because there's a similarity here. But that would have given him a huge benefit of the media and so forth. Now that he's allowed to be on the ballot, his face is already on the ballot. And there was an argument whether his face can stay. Even if he isn't there, his face can stay. Now, that wasn't a difficult decision. I think the IEC tomorrow will decide his face can stay because Buthelezi's face is on the ballot. And he deceased last year, so I don't think the face is an issue. But now that he's allowed, I don't think the media attention will be so focused as on his victimship. It would now focus on the issues that MK does not have. I haven't seen their constitution. I haven't seen their manifesto. I haven't seen their election of leaders. I haven't seen their structure, nothing of the nature. So here we've got a political party that in some surveys may even get up to 20 to 25% of the vote in KwaZulu-Natal without any of these basic elements that one would expect from a political party. Therefore, we've got a different kettle of fish. We've got something here that I think is going to be a game changer in our election coming the 29th of May.
So Do you think we'll have Zuma back in parliament?
Well, he's number one on the list. So obviously, let's just work out the calculations briefly. If we assume that there's going to be a voter turnout of about 60%, let's just assume the voting population in KwaZulu-Natal is give and take 6 million. Now, 60% of 6 million is about 4 million people that will go to the polls. If the MK party gets 20% of 4 million, well, it gives you 800,000 people, give or take. 800,000 people divided by 50,000 gives you anything from 15 to 20 seats in parliament. So MK will be in parliament at the level which is equal to that the EFF had two elections ago and what COPE had three elections ago. So it's significant if those numbers is sustainable. The big question here is, can the MK party, without the organizing structure that the others have, can they sustain an election like this, which is comparable to their media attention? What do I mean by that? Do you have the logistics to get people to the polls? Do you have the networks? Do you have all these organizing capabilities, which, of course, the ANC has, the DA has? There are several other parties with nice party machinery that kicks into action when we approach an election. MK doesn't have it. So my expectation is, yes, they into the election now with Zuma, but whether it will have the effect that they think they're going to have now that he is allowed legally to participate in the election, I don't think so.
Well, let's just get back to the IEC, because their argument was quite sturdy. And as you say, there might have been other factors that persuaded the judges to decide that, you know, Zuma's face can be on the ballot paper. What do you think is the position of the IEC? How would the IEC be viewed in, you know, after this?
Well, I would play Zuma. If I'm the IEC, I'll appeal this decision to the Constitutional Court, because there's a very, very important issue here. And the issue is that certain categories of people are not allowed to stand as legislators. And there's a very specific arrangement. And I thought the arrangement is sturdy, like you said. It's cast in stone. But when the argument yesterday emerged about the remission of his sentence, is it a parole? Is it a remission? Is it the end of the sentence? I sense a crack in this sturdy argument. And I think if we see the written arguments of the judges afterwards, I think they will be barking up that tree, and that is definitely appealable.
So did President Ramaphosa actually leave the door open for him by that decision of the remission of his sentence?
I don't think Ramaphosa thought of that. Let me explain to you. There were several cases which Nkaitobi indicated yesterday where you get a sentence. Let's say you get a sentence for life. That means for the rest of your life. But then you are given parole, and we can think of several individuals in that case. McBride, we can think of Oscar Pretorius, so we can think of several people that had long sentences. Then they receive a reprieve or a remission or a parole. The original sentence stands. The fact that they only served, let's say, two-thirds or a third, or in Zuma's case, virtually only 2 days or maybe a week, I'm not sure, that is of academic importance. Now the judges made that of significance, and that is a very, very serious change, and I am sure once the shock of the decision is over. And I was worried when that every time a decision is moved out, it's not 12 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock, it's not 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, then I think our noses for analysis picks up something here is going on. I don't think this is the end of it. But I don't think anybody can do anything anymore towards the election. What we will in history pick up is the Zuma case. The Zuma case will definitely be a test case. And it may happen that once he's elected and he sits in parliament as a backbencher, maybe a decision which means parliament is now going to say, sorry, sir, but you got in through the wrong gate.
So you think the Constitutional Court can't, if the IEC appeals, the Constitutional Court can't sit before the election? It will have to be after the election.
Probably. And that is the sense of the wheels of justice are turning slowly. We know that the Constitutional Court justices have very, very little time for Jacob Zuma's Stalingrad strategies. At least we can give Dali Mpofu the credit that he has lost so many cases over the last 2 years trying to get Zuma out of court and out of prison and out of this and out of that. At least this one, he can tick off saying, well, at least this one, I got it right.
You said in the beginning the judges took the soft option. Do you think they were actually a little bit intimidated by the prospect of violence that some of the MK party said they could be?
Without doubt. And what concerned me was the questions the judges asked during the trial indicated to me a level of uncertainty, a level of they're not exactly sure. And they grilled Nkaitowi on several issues about the IEC's case. And I think that is where the difficulty started. And I would love to see how the written case is going to look. What arguments? But I think the argument is going to center around the meaning of remission. And Dali Mpofu, I think, when he argued that, listen, this sentence was 15 months, and it was remissed after 3 months. So then it stopped. I thought Nkaitobi was absolutely correct saying, listen, whether, and he even used the case of Robert McBride. Robert McBride took somebody to court because this person called him a murderer. Because there was a case, the bombing at Magoo's Bar and everything that, so the case, eventually the judges said, no, you are freed. You received a remission of your sentence. You even received an amnesty. Now, an amnesty is, if you look at the origin of the word, amnesty and amnesia as some reference, it means if you receive amnesty, it's the system has forgotten about your sentence, or the system has completely taken your sentence out of the system. But the original court case stands. The original conviction stands. You can't get away from that. And I thought that argument was a strong argument in the case of Zuma, and that the fact that he only served a very, very small portion of his sentence was neither here nor there.
So what are you predicting now, if you can, at this stage, for the election results? Because you said earlier that you think the ANC might push it over the line with some of the smaller parties. Now that MK seems a bigger factor, do you still think so?
No, I don't think so. I looked at it and I thought there are four possible outcomes or scenarios, if you want to call it that. The first one is the dominant party continues. That means the ANC gets anything above 46%, and they have a coalition with one or two smaller parties. They make up the 51% to get Ramaphosa elected as president, and they continue business as normal. That's the one scenario. That scenario is possible, especially when we have a low voter turnout, because with a low voter turnout that is below 60%, it benefits the bigger parties like the DA and the ANC. Their systems are better, their logistics are better, and all those kind of things. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is a scenario where the ANC, due to the efficiency of the effectiveness of MK in KZN and in Gauteng and in Northwest and in Mpumalanga, so at least in four provinces, make up, let's say, 10% of the national vote.
Sure.
It sounds like incredible, but it is possible statistically. That means the EFF is going to lose votes because a lot of the MK guys are currently voting EFF and they will now move to MK because now they've got a home, a political home, despite the fact that this party doesn't have a manifesto nor elected leadership, wara, wara, wara. Doesn't matter. They vote for Zuma and they vote for that kind of approach. That means the ANC can then be pushed down to a point where they have 38% of the vote, or at least below 40% of the vote. The EFF and MK together have 20% of the vote. What is the options for the ANC? Now the ANC must start looking at a grand coalition. Now it approaches the DA with 20% of the vote. So that will give them 50% plus. The question is, what happens to the MPC, the multi-party charter? Are they going to fall apart under this scenario? So there is fear among the members that the DA may jump ship or something like that, or even the IFP may jump ship if they are doing well. So that scenario I would call looking for friends in some way or another. The scenario where the MK even does better and the EFF also, I would call revenge of Zuma. In other words, he always said, I've got a surprise for you. I've got some things. Now he's doing it. So it will bring, and that's why I call this court case and the decision of the court case as being part of a game changer. But there's also a scenario where MK gets only 2 or 3% of the vote because they're not organized. And the ANC gets what we think it will get, and it will the main opposition, the multi-party conference, will be the main opposition. The EFF will suffer under these conditions. And then we were concerned really about nothing. So the MK brings in a level of uncertainty into the election. They've only been polled once. And in that poll, and we're not exactly sure about the integrity of that poll, they received 24% of the vote in KZN, which is incredible. And then the only other three things we have about them are three by-elections in which they participated, where they've got sizable support, one in Mpumalanga and two in KwaZulu-Natal. So if you take that small little sample and those three elections, then we have an element in this election that is almost unpredictable.
Well, it's unpredictable and it's going to be quite unstable in Parliament, it seems.
No, not in Parliament. Remember what happens in Parliament. And this is quite interesting that you mentioned it. 10 days after the election, or 10 days after the election result has been confirmed, Parliament must sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first order of business is the old government then stops to govern.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker takes over. In our case, probably the acting speaker.
Yeah.
And he or she will then ask the 400 members of parliament for nominations for a president. And then the president gets elected and then he takes over and then the whole system runs the normal way. But let's say they can't get a president elected. There's just nobody that gets 50% plus one.
Mm-hmm.
What is the scenario then? Well, according to the constitution, the parliament then disbands, and a new election will be proclaimed within, I think, 14 working days, and then we'll have a second election to see if we can get a better result. So we must also bring that into consideration, because if these numbers are looking like they're currently looking, we are really going to have an interesting composition of parliament 30 years after 1994.
And there's going to be a lot of horse trading. It's going to be interesting to watch that as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Professor Theo Venter, for speaking to us.
My pleasure, as always.